This is a very busy month. It's filled with memorials. This is at the end of the month. It's Memorial Day, where we remember those who have put on one of our military's uniforms, and they gave the last measure of duty. And so we'll be celebrating those at the end of the month. This weekend, right now, there is probably 200 or 300 of our law enforcement officers out in Santa Clarita at the Red Lobster restaurant. They're all forming up, they're having a little bite to eat, and then they're going to be driving up to Sacramento. And about 7 hours from now, they will arrive, and it's quite a thing to see. They're all in the various different color police cars traveling up there in a line, but they're going up to celebrate the 9 officers whose names are going to be put on a wall in Sacramento, just outside of the Capitol. Tonight at 7 o'clock, there'll be a candlelight vigil, and there'll probably be 1,000 police officers there for that. And then tomorrow at about 10 o'clock, there will be probably another 2,000 officers added to that to celebrate the lives of the 9 officers that passed away last year and 1 the year before who was overlooked and whose name was not added last year. So this year, his name will be added. And I'd like to share with you the names of these 9 men who gave their lives for you and for me to keep us as safe as they might have, but each of them had their lives taken from them by murderers in our different communities. So the first officer I'd like you to be thinking of and to remember, his wife and his children, each of these, their wives and their children, their parents, to lose a son in such a way is a shock, to say the least. But we can be faithful to our Lord and be grateful for them, because remember this, no one forced them to raise their hand and swear allegiance and wear the badge and go out every day and risk their lives for us. They did that because they had a calling upon their lives. They wanted to keep you and me safe. This is something they desired, and unfortunately, they met their end. So the first officer and his family that I'd have you remember is Officer Tyler Ryan Lenahan, Elk Grove Police Department, end of watch, January 21st, 2022. Officer Nicholas Villa, Huntington Beach Police Department, end of watch, February 19th, 2022. Correctional Lieutenant Steve M. Taylor, Riverside County Sheriff's Office, EOW, end of watch, February 24th, 2022. Officer George David Alvarado, Salinas Police Department, end of watch, February 25th, 2022. Officer Houston Ryan Tipping, Los Angeles Police Department, end of watch, May 29th, 2022. Sergeant Michael Paredes, El Monte Police Department, end of watch, June 14th, 2022. Officer Joseph Santana, El Monte Police Department, end of watch, June the 14th, 2022. Deputy Isaiah Cordero, Riverside County Sheriff's Office, end of watch, December 29th, 2022. The overlooked officer from the year before is Officer Michael Edward Wall, Los Angeles County Probation Department, end of watch, April 30th, 2021. Let's pray for them, shall we? Abba, we thank you for such individuals like our own, Officer Martha Campos, who's celebrating her birthday this week. Deputy Andrew Wright. And Security Officer Ronald Wright. We thank you for these individuals and thousands of others in this state who decide each day that when they go to work, they are making themselves available to protect us. We don't like it when sometimes we get a traffic ticket. But Father, might we remember, even with such things as a simple traffic ticket, that if we don't believe we deserve that one, well, let's think about the 6,000 others we did deserve and didn't get. Let us remember, Father, the wives and the children of these men whose names have been read, that you would come alongside them and continue to pour out your comfort upon them. That you would be meeting each of their needs. That in your own way, that you would bring another man into the lives of the kids, that they would have fathers and father figures, that even maybe these officers' partners might try to fill the hole as best they can as the little ones are growing up. Father, we pray for these wives who go to bed and their husbands aren't there. And we ask that they might find your wonderful loving power with them throughout each day and each night. Again, Father, we thank you for those who wear the uniform and want to protect us. We pray for each of those that are going to be driving up to Sacramento today, and that you would see each of these police cars filled with officers safely to their destination. And that tomorrow, when those chiefs and sheriffs walk with the wives of their fallen officers and deputies, that you will give them words of wisdom and tenderness that the wives and kids will appreciate. Thank you, Father, for each of those that are going to be there tonight and tomorrow to honor their brothers. For we thank you this morning in Jesus' name for such people who care enough to try to protect us. And it's in the name of him who went to the cross to save us and to keep us safe from hell, your wonderful Son, our Savior Jesus. Amen. Thank you for praying with me, them. This morning, has been a very rich and wonderful morning, even speaking about these officers who have paid the full price of devotion to us. It's a wonderful thing to know such people, to work alongside such people, and to have those people right here in our own church family. Coming in this morning was a joy. I don't know why it was. I didn't get any more sleep than I have as usual, but I felt much more awake and enthusiastic about this morning. When those who came this morning to lift all of you up in prayer who weren't there this morning, those intercessors were a blessing to hear them speak about not themselves but others. They care about you very much, and it would be sweet to see more of you there. But until the Lord puts it upon your heart to be there, we will continue to meet together, to hear Gary Rasmussen bring us a good message, short, but very good, before we go to prayer together. It's a very unselfish time to hear those individuals pray aloud. Some don't pray out loud, and that's okay. You don't have to come if you don't pray out loud in public. Just in your own heart, all you need to say is yes, amen. That's good. I like that. Whatever. But after that, then, to know that there's going to be refreshment being offered there in the kitchen, and seeing many of you in there being refreshed. That was a sweet thing to watch and see. And to see you catching up with one another and having a delightful time eating that food that has gotten much healthier over the years than I have recommended. But if you have a net in your life, your eating habits are going to be ruined. But then coming here into the worship center and being able to greet a few of you, it's just a sweet thing. You know, your gifts one to another, which are also gifts to me. And it's just a good thing to come, and some of you like to hug, others of you want to just squeeze a hand, and others of you just want to rush by as quick as you can. And I still don't bite, but I haven't convinced a couple of you. And they give candy to the children and the younger folks that grew up here in the church who are now adults. I wonder if the candy I give them go to the kids. But at any rate, it's a beautiful thing. This morning, in the preparation, as I was bringing some groceries into the kitchen for next Saturday and listening to the worship team rehearse, it's a rehearsal to say over again and lead us into a musical prayer that helps us express our hearts to Him. I won't say who in our prayer gathering, but she said, it might be dumb, or I might be dumb. I don't know if she was referring personally to herself. Yeah, I think she was. But I love you, Lord Jesus, she said. Amen. And I joined in with her later. I like being a dummy that loves the Lord Jesus very much. And the worship team helps me very much to express that, being a dumb person who thoroughly loves the Lord Jesus Christ. And as he pointed out to me throughout the week, he loves you very much. He's crazy about each of you. A couple of you, I'm wondering why, but nonetheless, he does. He is absolutely crazy about you. And who else would go to a cross? Who else would allow himself to be tortured as he was if he didn't love you so very, very, very much? So we celebrate his love for us and our Lord's raising him. So this morning we return not to a hunger for the truth, part one, but we're in part two. We're going to pick up in verse 26 and move on to verse 52, the end of the chapter. But in that process, this morning all I can do is set context. Because there will be, by the time we break up this morning and leave, much like those in the synagogue that we'll be looking at this morning in Poseidon, Antioch. I can't even remember where I was going with that now. But at any rate, we're going to be in part two, and I can only set the context this morning, because earlier this morning we have the worship, which is a powerful time in teaching in and of itself. We come into this time of sharing with you that Memorial May, it's throughout the entire month. I mean, tomorrow, do you know it's going to be VE Day? You know, I wasn't even born yet. I would be born a few days later in that month of May, 1945, but it's Victory in Europe Day tomorrow. And I was listening to a 100-year-old soldier this morning, and he was talking about that special day. But we'll honor our soldiers at the end of the month that went on to be with the Lord and elsewhere, unfortunately. But if you'd look at your notes, we're going to begin setting the context on page one there, where it says, Paul's message in Pisidian Antioch Synagogue. And I'd like you, if you can, to place yourself in the synagogue. It would have been a huge synagogue because it was one of the more, it was its own huge, like we have these large churches today that have thousands of people in them. And they had to be enormously large amphitheaters, as the Romans were very fanciful for, and buildings that they would be meeting in. So as you're in here, think yourself in robes. Think yourself wearing sandals. Think yourself as a person who's interested in Judaism. As we move through the context here, you're going to see things with regard to the church itself, and how the church mirrors much of what Judaism was like at this time, as the church has been born and is growing. I'm going to not embellish this passage as we go through it, but I'm going to bring context from past context to bring it more and more to life as we move towards that 52nd verse. So Paul's message in the Pisidian Antioch synagogue, it's Paul who's standing before all of the people who have come, and he lifts up his hand, you'll recall, last week, and he says, brothers, and In our context, we can say sisters as well. Sons of the family of Abraham, and those among you who fear God, people who are very interested in Judaism and in this monotheistic God. You who fear God, to us has been sent the message of this salvation. The salvation that Jesus came into the world to provide them. That you and I have had the beneficiary of receiving. Because these individuals here, and those in the context of Asia Minor, who have heard the gospel, received it, confessed and repented of their sins, and received Jesus as their Lord and Savior, they have gone on and to speak into the lives of the people they live with and live around this new gospel about the one true salvation. The message of this salvation, verse 27, for those who live in Jerusalem and their rulers, the people that were there in the Sanhedrin, the Sadducees, the Pharisees that we have met, the Roman government, Pilate, for those who live in Jerusalem and their rulers, because they did not recognize him, that is, Yeshua HaNazarius, Jesus of Nazareth. They didn't recognize him as the Messiah. They didn't recognize him nor understand the utterance of the prophets. As they would go to synagogue every Saturday, there would be a reading from the prophets and the law of Moses. And the prophets spoke of the coming of the Messiah. They spoke in the Old Testament about the Messiah being beaten to a point that he couldn't be recognized for who he was as a human being. These things which are read every Sabbath fulfilled them by condemning him. And though they found in him no guilt worthy of death, they found him in violation of Jewish law, but he wasn't really, because he was who he said he was, the Messiah. But they didn't believe in him, therefore they found him to be a blasphemer. He wasn't deserving of death, but they asked Pilate to have him executed. And being a good politician, he did exactly what the other politicians wearing the clothes of clergy wanted. And when they had carried out all that was written of the Messiah, they took him down from the tree and laid him in a tomb. They laid him in a rich man's tomb, a Pharisee by the name of Joseph, Joseph of Arimathea. But God raised him from the dead. I love this. And for many days, Jesus appeared to those who had come up with him from Galilee to Jerusalem. The 12, Matthew, Mark, John, we have all of these, Philip, and they all came up with him. They proved themselves at this time to be cowards. Cowards. Men who walked with him for upwards of three and a half years. And during that time, they would, in the days of his arrest, deny him. But God raised him from the dead, and for many days he appeared to those who had come up with him from Galilee to Jerusalem, who are now his witnesses to the people. Each of these apostles of the Lord would go forth, and they would travel great distances, as far away to the east as India, as we've discovered together, as far away as the west coast of Europe. And each of them, with the exception of John, would have their lives end in martyrs' deaths. We've learned that there's nobody in our church family who knew something to be a lie, such as the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. If they knew it was a lie, none of them would sacrifice their life as a martyr for a lie. But these men, they had seen him. They had met with him. They sat with him, and he taught them for many, many days. He even made breakfast for them in Galilee near the lake. And I've thought about that often. I'm not into fish for breakfast. Verse 32, and we bring you the good news. We bring you this gospel of the Lord Jesus. We bring you this good news about salvation. We bring you this good news that what God promised to the fathers, this he has fulfilled in us, their children, by raising Jesus, as also it is written in the second psalm. You are my son, the psalmist says, speaking of the Messiah. You are my son. Today I have begotten you. What glorious, glorious news. You are my huios. When I was in seminary and was learning Greek, I came home and I looked at Ronnie and I said, you are my huios, my son. And as time went by, he would learn a little bit of the Greek I was learning. And he would call me Abba, Daddy, Papa. But then after a while, you had to put a little Ronnie-ism in what he would call me. I went from being Abba to Yabba. But I knew what he was saying. Verse 34, and as for the fact that he raised him, Jesus, the Son of God, from the dead, no more to return to corruption. He has spoken in this way. I will give you the holy and sure blessings of David, the king. Therefore, because of all these things that have been mentioned thus far in our reading here. Therefore, he says also another psalm in another psalm. You will not let your Holy One see corruption. For David, after he had served the purpose of God in his own generation, fell asleep and was laid with his fathers and saw corruption. His body went into a tomb, and his body decayed, saw corruption. Jesus' body went into a tomb, but it was raised 3 days later, and there was no decaying. There was no corruption. For For David, after he had served the purpose of God in his own generation, fell asleep and was laid with his fathers and saw corruption. But he whom God raised up did not see corruption. Let it be known to you, therefore, because of all of these now, these things taught in this second section. Therefore, brothers, sisters, that through this man, forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you. I share with you again, and anyone who will listen to this online, that Jesus of Nazareth came into the world as the God-man, the incarnation, God becoming man. And he came into the world for one purpose, and that was to seek and to save those of us who were lost. And at that time, we were all lost. And he came so that we would have the opportunity to join him and be with him in heaven one day, to enjoy him here and now in our deep personal experiences that we can have with him throughout each day, any number of times. These very intimate gnosko times. He came to forgive us all of our sins, those ones that you still hold on to and think about. Oh, he couldn't forgive me for this one. Yes, he did. He did. He did not go to the cross for the majority of your sins. He went to the cross for all of your sins. And he said to his father, "It is completion, Dad. It is completion. It is finished. I left nothing undone." All your sins, family. Do not continue to blame yourself for things in the past that you have done, or as we move into the future. He took it upon himself to forgive those too. All of them. But we are not to cheapen that by knowing it's already forgiven. Therefore, I can just go out and have a sinful good time. You really won't have a sinful good time. Even when he was drawing me to faith over the course of about 3 years, even as I sinned, I still wanted to do it, and I did it. But I didn't enjoy it at the end. It was an awful feeling to devote myself to sinning and then in the end not enjoy it. Found that to be a waste of time. But he was working on me. That through him, this man, forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you. These Jews, these proselytes, these people who had converted from their pagan religions to Judaism, these people that were interested in this God that the Jews worshiped, he was telling them this message. You have to remember, when Malachi put down his pen and was writing under the Holy Spirit's leading, God would stop speaking to the people of Israel for 400 years. And by him, by Jesus, everyone who believes is freed from everything. Everything. Circle that word. If you don't believe what I was just telling you, circle the word everything. Is freed from everything from which you could not be freed by the law of Moses. Beware, therefore, Beware, therefore, now in this second section, because of all that he has said to them, he says, beware, be on alert, look carefully, know your surroundings, understand what I'm saying, lest what is said in the prophets should come about. He's warning them, look, you scoffers, you unbelievers, be astounded and perish, die, go to hell. For I am doing a work in your days, a work that you will not believe, even if one tells it to you. I've had a number of conversations with Jewish folks since I've come to faith. And most of them, fortunately not all of them, but most of them, yes, they are still scoffers. They still don't believe that Jesus of Nazareth came as the Messiah, their anointed one to save them. Verse 42, as they went out, the people begged that these things might be told them the next Sabbath, next Saturday. Paul, Barnabas, little core value team called missions. Come back next Saturday. Come and join us. There were those who heard and they wanted to hear more. There were those who heard and were believing. They hadn't believed, but they were believing. There were those who heard and they wanted to hear more because they were questioning. I like these people that question. And after the meeting of the synagogue broke up, they were all going down to Lulu's to have a bite to eat. And after the meeting of the synagogue broke up, many Jews and devout converts to Judaism followed Paul and Barnabas. And I suppose that they were following Nina, and they were following Annette, and they were following after Eric and others on the core value team of missions. And after the meeting of the synagogue broke up, many Jews and devout converts to Judaism followed Paul and Barnabas, who as they spoke to them, answering their questions, getting familiar, urged them to continue in the grace of God. The next Sabbath, almost the whole city gathered to hear the word of the Lord. That would be, for us, it would be like the entire community of Granada Hills coming to our facility. We used to cram over 200 people in here in two worship celebrations. That would be it. And then you would have people who would have to be standing in the hallways. Chris Wright would be going nuts. The fire marshal is going to come and catch us. But we've done that before in homegoing celebrations. We open the door and the hallways have been filled with people in chairs. We did it anyway. Chris was probably away that day. And the next Sabbath, almost the whole city gathered to hear the word of the Lord. Oh, man. How did all those people hear about this? What was it that brought them? We see nothing here about the Holy Spirit doing something unusually miraculous. They came because the people who were there on that particular Sabbath day, they were telling their neighbors, they were telling the people they were working with. They were telling the people, if there was a Hebrew school at school, I think you guys need to come and hear these men who have come from afar. They've come from Jerusalem. They have this wonderful news, or at least news that I think you ought to hear. I wonder what would happen if we had every seat in here filled and had to do two or three of these kinds of worship celebrations. I would think you were trying to kill me off. Would you mind trying to kill me off? I would love it. But when the Jews saw the crowds, they were filled with jealousy. Is that our problem? We're filled with jealousy? I am so important that you just want to keep me to yourself? I don't think so. They were filled with jealousy and began to contradict what was spoken by Paul. You see, they hadn't been in Jerusalem. They weren't there for the crucifixion. They weren't there to hear what was going on amongst the people of the Sanhedrin. But they began to contradict what was spoken by Paul, reviling him. Reviling him. You know, reviling is okay. It's okay to get reviled. If you've never been reviled, you should ask yourself why. Every one of us should be reviled. Because the majority of Americans around here don't want nothing to do with Jesus. But I guess that means we want them to go to hell because we don't want to talk to them about Jesus. Is that what we really want? It's okay to be reviled. I've been reviled by the men and women there in the LAPD chaplain corps in years past. And I shared with you just a few weeks ago, I got to share with 50 of the 60 of them the gospel, and I got hugged by a witch. I haven't been reviled yet. I'm kind of disappointed. And Paul and Barnabas spoke out boldly, saying, it was necessary that the word of God be spoken first to you, that the authoritative, inerrant, living word, God breathed out word, be spoken to you, the Jews, first. They got it first. They were first in line. Since you thrust it aside, since you're saying, I want nothing to do with it, and judge yourselves unworthy of eternal life, that's what they were doing. Behold, we are turning to the Gentiles. You see how important you are? Do you understand how important you are, Gentile, non-Jews? I think the only Jew, Steve, isn't here this morning. Any other Jewish people? My last name's Jewish, but I'm a Scotsman. My dad was adopted. And we are turning to the Gentiles. For so the Lord has commanded us, saying, he said this to the Jews in the Old Testament. He said, I have made you a light for the Gentiles that you may bring salvation to the ends of the earth. Since when were Jewish people being evangelists and going out and sharing the one true God and the coming, the first advent, the coming of the Messiah? They weren't doing it. They had turned from their main calling. And it would seem that the church has too. in large part. Because Jesus told us in Matthew 5, verses 14 and 16, you can write it down, check it out. You are the light of the world. You, every single one of you, are the light of the world. And you're to be manifesting it to those folks out there. Yes, I'm part of the light of the world too. And when the Gentiles heard this, when the Gentiles heard that since you're saying no to this news, we're going to give it to the Gentiles. So when they heard this, they began rejoicing. They began with this term here of charo. They were glad. They were enjoying a new state of being, if you will. They were enjoying being in a state of happiness. We're thrilled. You don't want to, you're not going to share it with them. You don't want it. Great. We'll take it. We want it. And there is a Gentile, maybe even a Jew somewhere, way down in your Christian lineage, who shared the gospel that finally got to you, Gentile, when you got it. And now that you have it, are you in a state of happiness? That's what I was talking about coming in this morning at shortly after 4 a.m. Thrilled to be a son of the Most High God. Absolutely thrilled. And I get to get up here and I get to preach the gospel. I get to preach the word of God to people that I'm crazy about, but he's even crazier about them. They were rejoicing and glorifying the word of the Lord, doxazo. They were esteeming and honoring and praising the breathed out word of God. They were thrilled to hear it. It was new to them, and sometimes that's what ruins it for Christians. They get so close to it that it's no longer wonderful anymore. Well, think about going to hell. Does that not make it more wonderful? Does it make it more wonderful to have Jesus as the person who sits with you every single day and you have that wonderful, deep, personal experience with him and he listens to your complaints, complaint after complaint, and he gives you love and he tries to convince you to get rid of those ants in your life, those automatic negative thoughts. He wants you to walk with him. He wants you to see the power of we, you and me together. He wants you to focus and focus on the things he has pointed out to you during those times that you're with him. To watch your life blossom and become something more than you ever anticipated because you are connected to the vine, the Lord Jesus Christ, and his Father comes along and is pruning that vine to make you even more than you are because you're in Christ. You're a son. You're a daughter of the Most High God. So they were glorifying the word of the Lord, and many as were appointed to eternal life believe, many as were appointed family. Do you hear that? We're going to talk about predestination in the Sundays to come. The next Sunday's Mama's Day, remember? And we have a message for moms. So it isn't that we're forever in Acts. It's just that I go away from Acts from time to time. And the word of the Lord was spreading throughout the whole region. How is the word of the Lord spreading, family? How is the word of the Lord spreading? Yeah, people were talking about him to all their other friends and family and coworkers and people they went to school with. The word of the Lord was spreading. Is the word of the Lord spreading in the San Fernando Valley because of Granada Hills Community Church, folks? Only you can answer that. I'm one person. We need all of us. All of us. To be sharing this wonderful word. And it was going throughout. I showed you pictures in your last set of message notes. Not these, but the last ones. Remember? We were looking at the Sebaste Highway. I mean, it was built in 4 BC. And it was used even through the 1800s. And it's still there. It goes all the way from Ephesus in the west and all the way to Babylon, to the Euphrates in the east. And people use that highway to travel and to go and to share the gospel. They went throughout the region of Pamphylia and Galatia and Cilicia. But the Jews incited the devout women of high standing and the leading men of the city of Pisidian Antioch. They stirred up persecution against Paul and Barnabas. That would include their little missions core value team. It's okay to be persecuted for your faith. It's okay. Persecution against Paul and Barnabas and drove them out of their district. But they shook off the dust from their feet against them and went to Iconium. And the disciples were filled with joy. They were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. Oh, this is good stuff. This is what the church should be like in America. This is who we should aspire, every one of us who are in Christ, to be. Get it? Good. We will return to this the week after next and begin to break it all down to see it for what is intended there for each of us. Abba, thank you for giving us such good examples. Examples of what you have desired your church to be from the beginning and to that point to where you rapture us, that you rapture us, each one, into your heaven. So, Father, may you take your words that you have shared with us this morning, and may we adopt them. And ask your Holy Spirit in our very next DPE, even in these moments possibly, help me to be like Paul and Barnabas. Help me to be by like the unnamed individuals in this mission core value team. Help me to be the young man, the old man, the young woman, the older woman, who is crazy about you like you're crazy about me. Help me to have a broken heart over those I haven't shared the gospel with, have gone on, and they have gone to hell. Father, may we each one have a deep sensitivity to sharing this good news. Make us like a crazy person. May we hold on to the legs of those who have rejected your gospel And make them hear once again the wonderful good news, the wonderful love that comes in the gospel, the mercy, the graces that come. May they have to literally pole vault over our bodies into hell because we want them to be saved by your grace alone, through faith alone, in your Son, Jesus alone. Oh, please, Father, we ask this in your Son's awesome, awesome name. Amen.